The first Mishnah in Bava Kama states, "Kshizik chavamazik l'shalom ha'hezik b'meitav ha'aretz." The din is that if you're mazik, you have to pay. It's a din meitav. But if you pay metatalin, there's no din meitav. Whatever it is, cash, you can pay bran, subin. But you have to pay up what you were mazik. As a first step in understanding Bava Kama, it is necessary to clarify what exactly constitutes hezek in the Torah. At first glance, it would seem to be that monetary loss suffered by the nizik. No property was taken away, and no property was kept by another, so that there is no gzeila. And there is no gneva involved. It is in some way ruined or rendered useless, which makes hezek to be financial loss. If this hefsid, this financial loss, was caused by someone's maisa, or the actions of someone's property, his behema, his boar, his eish, a chiyuv goes in effect to pay for the loss. This analysis is not true, however. Loss suffered cannot be the underlying concept of hezek in the Torah. The Gemara Bava Kama Yud Amud Beis brings various psukim from which we derive the rule of Baila Metaplin Bin Avela. Your behema, if your behema were to kill another's, leaving a carcass, an avela, of some value, you the mazik, do not, you if you're the owner of the sure that was mazik, do not have to pay for a whole brand new bang. Rather, the owner of the nevela, the bailim, the nizik, takes the remains and deducts it from the value of the original behema, which the mazik is left to pay the rest. Would it not be for the chiddush of bailim etaplim b'nevela, the mazik would have been forced to pay the value of a live animal to replace the live animal that was killed. That's the Havamina of the Gemara before the need for the Pasuk. If there would be no such Havamina, we would not need such a Pasuk. Now, if Hezek is the monetary loss to the owner, how then would we ever have entertained such a thought? And why the need of a Pasuk to establish rules of deducting? If a carcass remains in the hands of the bailiff, the loss is the original value minus the value of the present nevela. That is all there can be to pay. How can you be made to pay for more? How can you be made to pay more than you were mazik? If hezek is monetary loss, then there is only as much loss as there is a drop in value. If you could have been required to pay more than the loss, had it not been for the din of bailim etaplin, then this implies that damage, hezek, is not financial loss, but rather is mitzad de chayfetz, it's object-oriented. That is to say that the Siba, from this Gemara, from this Limud, from this Gemara that learns that Bailim Etaplin, the Siba of Tashlumin and the Torah is not the hefsid bailim, but the destruction to the chayfetz, the shviras ha-chayfetz. Now, the need for the limud of Bailim Etaplin is makes perfect sense. Previously there was a live animal, which is now totally gone. And what remains, the nevela, has no affinity with the original live behemoth, since destruction is the idea of hezek in the Torah. Then the chivah it generates will not be to replace the destroyed object. The Chiddush Din of Bailim Etaplin Nevela dictates that even though hezek is destruction of the chayfetz, yet tashlumin is based on the loss of the item to the owner. The measure of payment will be dependent upon the effect damage had on the bailim. That is his loss. But the Siba of tashlumin, we see from the need to learn out that Bailim Etaplin Nevela, and he deducts, the Siba for tashlumin is the destruction of the object itself, would have created a chiyuv to replace a live animal for a live animal, but after a chiddush HaTorah, we say no. We say that we will make a estimation of what the loss was. But do not make a mistake of interpreting the din of Baal Metaplin Leila to say that from here we see that Hezek is indeed the loss. And that's why the Mazik doesn't pay a whole new animal. Just because you end up paying the loss and no more is not necessarily a sign that loss is the machayev for tashlumin. Just that it's the basis for determining the size of payments. The rule is tafasta maruba le tafasta. We are to limit any and every chiddush as much as possible. We showed that initially before this drash, hezek is not financial loss. It can't be, because otherwise why would we need such a drush? There was only so much financial loss. Take off deducting the what's left and the veil that's left, that's the loss. But rather, you see from the need for Baal Metaplin Leila that the Shviras HaChefetz is the idea of Hezek. So then we would have thought that you have to pay a brand new live behemoth for what's lost. And the Pasuk comes along and says that that Baal Metaplin Leila you deduct. So we must conserve Chiddush and continue to maintain that even though Hezek is Shviras HaChefetz, but the Baal Metaplin Leila is to say that Tashlumin is based on Hefsed Baila. Additionally, there are Rishonim who interpret the whole din of Baal Metaplin Leila to say that essentially the Chiv is to pay the value of a new animal, and the Neveila is used as Shava Kesef, and in other words, you have to pay an animal, and if there's a Neveila left, then Mazik is allowed to use that as payment. But in other words, he's chayav to pay for an entire new behema. Why is that? There was no only financial loss as much as there was after you deduct the nevela. So according to these, we've shown him even after the chiddush hakol, all there is, you pay the entire new live animal. So even after the pasuk chiyuv to replace destroyed object, the destroyed object is more than the loss. So if you can be chayiv to pay more than the loss, then the loss can't be the sibur for tashlumin. For another raya to our yisai, we have the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tzadik Ches Amalav. One who pounds a coin flat so that it cannot be used as currency any longer is potter. The reason given is that he didn't make any changes to the substance of the coin, for every bit of the original coin is present, and the fact that it's now useless is termed grama. Rabba then says, he continues and he says, and he qualifies this patur. He is only potter if he just flattens the coin using a hammer, for example. But if he were to file it down, is chayiv for the value of the original coin, since there was actually a depletion of material. The question should be asked, the question arises, a coin without its impression cannot be used as money. It's a slug. Why is the case of flattening considered grama? Just because there is no removal of the material of the coin. The answer lies with what we have pinpointed to be the notion of Hezek and the Torah. If the idea of Hezek and the Torah were monetary loss, then there can be no difference between flattening the coin by pounding it or by filing it down. In both cases, there was direct Hefsek. But given that the notion of Hezek is destruction, a distinction can be made. In the instance of pounding and flattening, what's left is exactly what existed originally, albeit in a different configuration, which does not constitute destruction, says Rabba. But when you file the coin down, there's a small loss of metal. And that is a case of hazard. That's destruction. Once we have a machayev of tashlumin, the payment will be based on the loss of the item to its own owner, as we've seen previously, but pounding it makes no destruction. So even if there's a loss, there's no sibur for tashlumin, at least there's no hezek. There is a din of grami. This grama is not grama. It doesn't mean it's indirect. It means it's a case of grami, and grami is mirabonim. So you would have to pay. But Minoraisa, Rab is talking on the level of Deraisa, you don't have to pay as long as there is no destruction. That's already so. Now, having arrived at this new understanding of the meaning of Hezek in the Torah, we turn to the union of Hezek, Shein, and Nicker. We find a machlokes in Bava Kamma where Hezek, Shein, and Nicker, whether Hezek, Shein, and Nicker is chayef. An example would be one who's matama truma. There is nothing physically discernible in the truma which would show some sign that anything adverse took place. It's Hezek, Shein, and Nicker. It's Eino Nicker. However, it would obviously be a loss to the owner. You can't use it anymore. Truma is also if it's tummy. It's also for Yisraelim, even if it's Torah. It's also for Kahanim if it's tummy. But if monetary, let's go apply our new idea of Hezek. If monetary loss was the idea of Hezek in the Torah, then Hezek, Shein, and Nicker should be a reason to require Tashlumen. But on the other hand, the man the yomer that holds Hezek, Shein, and Nicker as Potter would agree with our understanding of Hezek in the Torah and hold that if there's no sign of change in the object, then there is no destruction. However, we shall show that it is agreed on all hands that Hezek is destruction. But this does not dictate the need for Hezek to be recognizable. Just because Hezek is destruction, there's no need to be able to sense it so that we can have a machlokes whether Hezek, Shein, and Nicker is chayiv or not. And everybody holds that Hezek is destruction and not loss. It might be determined, and its payments are determined by loss, but not there. If there is no loss, there is no siba for tashlum and payments. Now we can let's go look at this. The Taisus in Bava Kamma in Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph. It's Taisus Divrei Maskol Hashta Afaste. It's the Taisus states that in the case of a ganef that had a Hezek, Shein, and Nicker, and he didn't do it. It just happened to the stolen article. We'll give you a case in just a minute. The ability to return the now useless stolen article and be potter is dependent on the din of Hezek, Shein, and Nicker. A ganef may remit the stolen article as long as it has not undergone a change, a shinui, relative to the condition it was at the time of his theft. If the article actually broke, even though through no fault of his own, he must pay money instead, and he stuck with the stolen article. In a case where he stole chametz and had it become chametz shavur all over Pesach went by, and then he's caught with it, he wants to return it. Or in a case where he stole cash and subsequently the government no longer accepts it as legal tender, the din is he may return the useless item if Hezek, Shein, and Nicker is potter. You could say, here it is. And just like Hezek, Shein, and Nicker is potter, so here's your item and keep it. And I'm potter and I don't have to pay money for the theft, even though it's useless. But he must make restitution in cash, according to Mandam that holds Hezek, Shein, and Nicker is chayef. And he cannot get away with remitting the item as say to the owner, here, this is yours. No, since it's Hezek, Shein, and Nicker is chayev when it comes to Hezek, when it comes to returning, making a shava for your gneva, then you can't make a shava without using that object anymore. You have to pay money. Says Taisus, Taisus just makes an additional comment that he wasn't forced to make. If you're holding Hezek, Shein, and Nicker, it's chayiv, you can't return it. So Taisa says, he throws in a line, for this is no longer the article that was stolen. And had the Hezek been discernible, had it been a Hezek Nicker, then there would be no greater shinui than this. We have to ask, what is the Taisa's meaning? Had the Hezek been discernible, has it been a Hezek Nicker, then there would have been no greater shin in this. Why don't you say that Hezek, Shein, and Nicker is chayiv? And so too, the ganef must pay the owner and cannot return the article as is. But what we see from Tysus' explanation is our Yisoid at work. Tysus understands that Mandiyam Hezek Shein and Iker Chayev likewise holds that Hezek is in the Torah is destruction, even if it's Chayev. Yet even if one cannot sense the damage, it's still considered destruction. In fact, if it would be recognizable, it actually is the ultimate case of destruction more than physical damage. For in simple physical damage, there will almost always be a part that's left and intact. But in the case of Mishtana Dino, now it's Tame, it's Trim, Kintame, it's Chametz, it's Became Osir, it's currency, but it's useless, it's Liris, it's not Shkolem anymore, then the article is absolutely and totally changed for the worse. Hence, the Ganef cannot utilize the article to accomplish Hashava and is forced to pay money according to Mandiyama that holds Hezek Shein Iker Chayev. We continue to maintain, without exception, that Hezek and the Torah is destruction in the object of Mammon, not its loss to the Bible. When we cannot sense the ruin, there arose a machlokes as to whether that this is considered destruction or not, but we need destruction. By our understanding of the Torah's concept of Hezek, we are able to throw some light on the area of Mezika known as Grami. In the cases of Grami, most Shitas are of the opinion that Mitzad Din, by right, there will be Ptur. But Bezdin will treat it as if it was a case of actual Mezika. Now, there's Groma and there's Grami. Grami is not a case of an indirect method of creating Hezek. Grami is direct. But we'll explain it now using our Yisod. The first two cases of Grami. A Shulchani, who makes a wrong judgment regarding the condition of the exchangeability of the coin, is Potter Minadin, but if you hold that, Don Bezin will even make a Chiv of Tashlumin in a case of Grami, then he has to pay. Now, changing money was a job that required expertise, and a fee was charged. And based on the wrong call, money was spent acquiring an unusable coin. Or, second case, what if you reveal that assets to a moches? Moches is a tax collector, but he's a special kind of tax collector. It's in the case of tax farming. I'll explain in a minute. Now, the moches gains the knowledge necessary to strip the person of his property, and you would be chayef only if grami is chayef. It is not hezek. Michael's referred to here as a tax collector of the type that took as much as he could gouge. This is known as tax farming, in which the ruling powers contracted with a moches who would guarantee a minimum figure that he will raise. And the deal being that all monies over and above the level that he's promised to the government belongs to the moches. All these cases are not cases of hezek. But just not indirect here, he directly caused hazard. The specific factors which constitute a case of Grami will be, you know what that is? It will be a case of Grami when there is no Shvir Sachayf, it's only Hefzid Mammon, but with no physical change of the object. But it's not a case of Ptur by virtue of the fact that the Asiya was not direct. Nobody made any straightforward act that caused hezek. That would make it to be a case of groma if it would be indirect, which is potter b'dinei adam. No, besin is not machayev if it's a case of indirect called groma. But chayev b'dinei shemayim. The argument for the p'tur of grami and the reason for the difference between grami and groma and why besin would require tashlumen, but the reason why it's Potter Min Adin is that it's not that there was no there was no hezek. There was no destruction. There's only hefzid. And Asiya that directly causes a loss forms the basis of Bezdin's demanding payment in a case of Grami. That's called Doin Dina Grami. There's other cases of Grami. Quickly, if a person were to have a Shtar Chov, and you burn it. Now he cannot use it as, or cannot, he's at a loss. He would have to prove the loan is still due, because without a pshtar, any lova, any balchov can taina paraiti. Also, there's no collection from nechassim shuvah. Next is, if a person were to sell shtar chov and then turn around and be meichel the original balchov, it helps. The balchov is potter, and the buyer of that note can't use it min adin. And he's lost the money that he's put out for the note, but it is a case of Brahmin. And he says, and there's another case, if there was a neighbors, and that one had wheat, some kind of grain growing, and there was a wall that divided off the next neighbor, which had a vineyard. Now, if the wall falls, it becomes, and the two grow together, then both of the two plants, the wine vineyard and grapes, and the, let's say it's wheat, barley, it becomes usher because of a din of become klein, and you're going to be chayiv from the din of the grami. Okay, but there is the Ramban in his, he has a chibur called Dina de Grami in the back of the Chedusha Ramban from Bava Basra, very, very back. Special little section called Dina de Grami, that he asked Akasha, why would this, there's a brisa brought down at the beginning of Bava Basra that this is the case, that you're have to pay me Dina de Grami. And he asked Akasha, why if you hold the Grami, it's potter. It's only Chayev, if you hold the Dina Grami. But there are those who hold the Grami, it's potter, and everybody holds Min Adin, it is potter. Just the question is, does Bilstein decide to collect in any case? Because it was certainly direct loss. Why should it be potter in any case? Forever, it should be always Chayev, because it should be the case of your property did damage. It's your wheat grew into the area of the vineyard and made it climb. So he, that was plenty of tools. We're going to turn to another inyan that argues that not argue, but are the contrast in contrast to our yisod, and that would be the inyan of Bineva. What is the idea of Bineva in the Torah? In Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph on the base, we find a machlokes between Rav Chisdon and Rabbi Bar Chama in the case of a mazik that damaged a stolen article. First, somebody stole, then somebody ate it, broke it. Second person, not the very same person. The very same person, it might be still considered one long bineva. Rav Chisdon allows the owner to collect from either the goslin or the mazik, whichever you like, right? Rami Bar Chama, however, holds that payment can only be had from the gazlan. You cannot collect payment from the mazik. Gazlan can go to the mazik, but not the owner. Both will agree that if the hezek happened after yish, payment can only be had from the gazlan and not the mazik. The only machlekes was if there was no yish yet, can the owner claim payment from the mazik? Now, Tosfos explains that according to both, the guiding principle is whether there is enough bilus in the stolen article to empower the owner to collect for nezikin. And after yish, all agree that the owner is no longer empowered. He does not have enough bilus to collect payment for nezikin. Now, if one were to rob a thief of a stolen article, a ganav min a ganav, the new thief would have been chayiv kefil. That's a divrei hakol. But if it wouldn't be for the pasuk in the Torah that a ganav min a ganav does not pay kefil, first Mishnah in the seventh parak of Merubah in Bava Kamma, we thus see a difference between ganeva and a mazik, because there's no question that a ganav min a ganav would be made to pay kefil of meaning that the owner has a choice of collecting from either guy. If he can't collect from both, so why is it that if the second loss is due to Hezek, that the owner might not be able to, at least according to Rabbi Bar Chama. Now, it becomes necessary to differentiate between the Sibas Tashlumen of a Mazik and Geneva. For Geneva, it is enough just to say, to retain a Kenyan Shaloi by the Bialim, to allow the owners their Tashlumen, whereas for Nezikin, more is required. We assert that even if we are agreed that the Sibas of Tashlumen for Mazik is destruction to the object, not its effect on the owner, but in the case of Geneva, it is indeed the effect that the Geneva has on the Bialim. It's the loss. When Hefsek comes as a result of removal of one's property, then that's the idea of Geneva in the term. And as long as the article belonged to someone, no matter how weak his Bialim is, there was Yish, he's going to lose it, because even if you hold Yish by itself, the Ganef isn't kind of, he may not keep the stolen article. However, if there was Shinu Rishus, then for sure everybody agrees that the Ganef can keep the article and can make payment. No matter how, that's a weakened, the Bialis is definitely weakened in such a case. Now, no matter how weak the Bialis there might be, the owner suffered the loss at its theft. The right to collect Tashlumin Nezikin, however, is a function of one's Bialis. Being the owner doesn't create a logical inevitability that the destruction of the chayfetz will cause the tashlumin to be the owner's. It is a right and a privilege by force of a pasuk in the Torah. In fact, many pasuk in the Torah. The ones, the Arba Avos the ones that Amchai Vadim in the end of Kutcha. If bios is significantly reduced, as happens in the case of Geneva, the owner can lose the power to demand payment for further destruction. Now, if it's the loss that's the sefer for Tashlumin, we don't care how weak his bios was, he's the owner. He suffered the loss. But if it's destruction, then why should he get paid for the destruction of the answer? Because the answer being that he's the owner. But if it's weakened bios, Rabbi Bar Chama is of the opinion that that even before Yish, You can't malign from a mazik after a ganav, and both Ramcham and Rav Chisda will be made that if after years you cannot get your payment only from the Gaza. But even if it's hefsid, Geneva's hefsid, we leave the exact definition of Geneva open. It might be the taking away of the property from the owner, that is the sibur for tashlumin, and the condition is, of course, that there's a loss. Or it might be the loss caused as a result of a removal. This is a machloikus, actually, in Merubah, and always brought when we're in Merubah, in the Ktsais Achayshim and the Sim Sam Mishpat. Just look up Shulchan Aruch Achayshim Mishpat, Simon Lamed Dalid, the Sugya of the Din of Achaylikim Aganef. Our thesis here is that Geneva is mitzad ha'bailam. The psif for tashlumin by Geneva is oriented to the loss of the owner. The effect that the theft had upon the owner, in contrast to Nezikin, which is the effect that the Hezek had on the Chayfetz. Okay.